and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is the founder of R.T. Kendall Ministries and former pastor of Westminster Chapel, Dr. R.T. Kendall. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker, and now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker. We're glad to have our special guest today, Pastor R.T. Kendall.
Is in the house.
One of the great writers of our day.
Absolutely.
Pastor of Westminster Chapel for 25 years.
In London.
In London. Do you still get back to London ever, R.T.?
Until COVID, I was going there 6 months a year.
Oh.
But now that things have relaxed, going to be there in 2 weeks, actually.
Wow. Yeah.
Amazing. Mm.
The Queen died this week, and it shocked us all, even though she was very old. She was in her 90s.
96.
And what was your thoughts when you'd lived by the castle for 25 years?
Westminster's just a block from the palace.
Yeah.
We knew she couldn't live long. But when I got the news yesterday that she died, I was shocked. Because I thought it would be a few more weeks.
Yeah.
Because she's rallied before.
Yeah.
And when they told her not to take any engagements, I've just learned that she gets better. Mm-hmm. And with this time, she didn't. Mm-mm. And I just wasn't ready for it.
Right.
And I'm sure the whole of Britain is in mourning. She was a remarkable woman.
Yes, she was. Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
And 96 years old. That's not the reason she was extraordinary.
No.
She had a presence, and I never will forget years ago when somebody broke into Buckingham Palace.
Yes, I
this
remember.
Goes back 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and no one knows how it happened, but it did, and went right into the Queen's bedroom, and her maid came in and said, "Ma'am, what's he doing here?" And she was so calm. And she said, "Everything's fine." And she just talked to him. And eventually the police just escorted him out. And she just acted like nothing at all. I mean, that's an extraordinary ability, presence of mind.
Amen.
But I can tell you, a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
And everybody will be in genuine mourning, not just official.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to miss her.
She's,
the longest serving queen in history.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Great friend of America.
Yeah.
Yeah, great friend of America.
She loved Churchill.
And he loved her.
Yes.
They used to say they thought he had a crush on her.
Because, well, he was the first prime minister that when she was 25 years old and she ascended to be the queen, her father, she was 25, she takes over. And he was the prime minister. So he was the first prime minister. So he kind of mentored her a little bit.
Yeah, there's no question. And the irony is that just 2 days before she died, she welcomed the new prime minister.
Yes.
And the fact that that could happen made you think she's okay for a while.
Right.
And then immediately they'd say, doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that picture she had taken with the new prime minister is one of my favorites. And her sitting there by the fireplace, and she just looked like a sweet grandmother.
Yeah.
I mean, she just really looked great. Yeah. And she went to be with the Lord the next day. So, it's, you know, we don't understand the royal family, I guess, but I believe, and I shouldn't say this, but I believe great change is coming for England. I believe there's going to be not only change, but they're going to have turmoil like never before.
Mm.
But I'm not saying it's because she died. I just believe there's a sea change in almost everything on earth.
I'm very worried. I actually, a little bit of name dropping, but I happen to know the present Archbishop of Canterbury.
Oh, good.
And the last time I went to see him, I said, I've come with a mission. I want you to plead with the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, who's now King Charles.
Right.
I'm worried. He has said that he will be a defender of faith. You see, the queen or the king would be the supreme governor of the Church of England. Mm-hmm. And so she has been the defender of the faith.
Right.
This is important. The faith. It's like Jude, verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith. It's right. In Colossians chapter 2, the faith. And so she's been the defender of the faith. The Prince of Wales has been saying for a good while, he will be the defender of faith. Mm. This is, a lot of people don't pick up That's the difference. Right. It's huge.
Yes.
Because just defend faith, that means he will defend whether you are Jehovah's Witness, Christian, Muslim, Shinto, faith. And if he sticks to that, you talk about sea change. And so I said to Archbishop Canterbury, please plead with him. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I do know that King Charles, when he was at Cambridge, his roommate was a born-again Christian. Mm. And he has been witness to, and he knows what the faith is. And one of my closest friends actually went salmon fishing with Prince Charles years ago. And he's been around genuine Christians. It's just hard to say what will happen.
Right.
But I will tell you this, I'm going to pray for him every day.
Yeah.
And this is the thing we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Pray for those.
Do you feel sometimes that you are English, that you belong to England because you lived there so long?
Well, yeah, I do. But when I'm over there, I feel like an American.
Yeah.
When I'm over here, I feel like a Brit.
The faith that was the foundational for the Queen Elizabeth, I have it written here. She says, I have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words. Teachings of Christ proved and provided a framework in which I try to live by. And those are the words from Queen Elizabeth II.
Yeah, I can believe that. Well, wonderful woman, greatly missed.
Absolutely. It's an end of an era, is what it is.
We're so glad to have you back. You were at Westminster Chapel for 25 years.
In London.
Mm-hmm. To the day.
And you had some great experiences there. Have you ever written a book about your life at Westminster?
Yeah, it's called In Pursuit of His Glory.
Yes.
My 25 years at Westminster Chapel.
Yes.
It won the Book of the Year award in England.
Really?
Yeah, it did. That's 20 years ago.
Wow.
It's out of print, but it's about my 25 years at Westminster Chapel.
Your history tells us you have written 60 books, but we just found out we upgraded it today to 80 books.
It's a gift of God.
Amen.
I just can do it.
Yes, it's remarkable.
And so you're kindly dealing with a book now.
Oh.
I'm honored to be here.
Yeah.
And
I'm hoping everybody will be able to get this brand new book, hot off the press, R.T. Kendall, Double Anointing.
Wow.
Lessons
Double
to be learned. Double Anointing, Lessons to be Learned from Elisha.
Yeah.
There's Elijah, and then there's Elisha. Mm-hmm. And how you can go so deep into the story of Elisha in this book, R.T., is simply astounding. I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, every single page, I could mark up the whole book and highlight it and mark it. Every single page. You want a double anointing? I'm like, yes. You're writing in here, yes. I said to Jim last night, I go, honey, you want a double anointing? He goes, yes. Mm-hmm. I want a double anointing.
Yes.
And you explained to us how that happens from the story of Elisha, from the Bible.
Well, I had written a book on Elijah.
Right.
Called These Are the Days of Elijah. And then I preached a series of messages on Elisha in London, and decided to turn it into a book, and I thought the appropriate title would be Double Anointing, because Elisha wouldn't let Elijah out of his sight because he knew that any moment Elijah was going to be taken to heaven.
That's right.
And so Elijah says, well, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I want a double portion of your spirit.
Yeah.
That was a very cheeky request.
Yeah.
And I can't prove this. I'm not sure Elijah was very happy about that.
That's what she said.
Because, you know, that would mean that Elisha would have twice the fame, twice the power, and people might forget Elijah. And I don't think many people look at it that way. Elijah had a big ego. I mean, he was a proud man. So here is Elisha, a nobody, saying, I want a double portion of your spirit. So Elijah makes it hard for Elisha. Said, the only way you're going to get it mm-hmm. is if you see me mm-hmm. as I'm taken up.
Wow.
Well, you read it in 2 Kings chapter 2,
right.
where Elijah said, well, I'm going to go over here. And Elisha said, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to go here. I'm going with you. Elisha would not let Elijah out of his sight. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about being in your face.
Yeah. Right.
Elisha was in Elijah's face. He just was going to make sure. And so when Elijah was taken, he got it.
Wow.
His mantle fell on Elisha. And then moments later, Elisha goes to the Jordan and just says, where is the God of Elijah?
Yeah.
And in that moment, the waters part. Mm. And everybody knew
that
he got Elijah's anointing.
Wow. You know what I loved about it, though? I love every single thing about this. But this is just the introduction. But you said what was so beautiful. And Maricela and I were in the makeup room today. And yeah. I said, Nana, it's her nickname. You need to read this out loud to me. Just read it out loud. You're going to be so blessed. She's like, yes, Mom. Okay, this is what's so beautiful about this, about Elisha that you teach us. There was nothing supernatural about him. He was very ordinary. Yet we are about to discover through the life of the prophet Elisha how God can take the ordinary and do something extraordinary. Amen.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, Elijah.
Isn't that exciting, though?
What'd you say?
That exciting that
yes.
God can use ordinary people?
Well, in James chapter 5, he says that about Elijah. He said he was a man like us. And so I wrote the book on Elijah to encourage anybody to believe you could be an Elijah.
Yes. Right.
And now, Elisha, we find that he is just an ordinary man.
Yeah.
And so. You're very kind to talk about the book like this.
Is it all right to ask for a double anointing? I want a double anointing. I need it now. Okay. I'm getting older. You don't know that.
Well, between you and me,
yeah.
I ask for it every day. So, yes.
I think you have it. I think that's what, to write these books, you have to have anointing.
I wish that were true. I just have a gift to write books. That doesn't mean I've got a double anointing. But, look, we're both still alive.
That's right.
You're just a child. You're 82. I'm 87. and honestly, Jim, I'm not making this up. I think God must not be finished with me yet.
Yes. That's right.
He's not.
Yeah,
amen.
I don't believe he is.
We need you.
Good.
The body of Christ needs you.
God's not finished with you
watching
this program right now.
And so,
the audience here, God's not through blessing you, using you. Oh, I'll tell you, you make me happy.
Yeah.
Just see you walk in.
Right.
Because you're getting older, but you keep going on.
Yes.
And you keep writing books and you keep ministering out to literally thousands and
millions
of people through your books.
Millions. Literally.
Well, you asked, do I pray for a double anointing? I certainly do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've got it. I think if I had it, I'd know. But I don't claim to have anything like that. But it's my ambition, not so secret. I'd tell anybody. I pray for that.
Yeah.
I want you to order this book. How many would like to have a double anointing?
Yes, Lord.
Order the book today. It's a new book from R.T. Kendall, and he's a best-selling author. I'm telling you, the book, God Meant It for Good, it's the greatest book ever written outside the Bible. And I don't think he believes that. because it's not even in print anymore. That book, God Meant It for Good, changed my life.
Well, let's put it in print.
He wants me to do it with my markings from prison.
Yes, amen.
Because you would ask things like, are you in a place equal to a prison dungeon right now?
Yeah.
And I'd write in the book, yes. Oh, there it is right there. See it on the screen?
Yeah.
See, it says right there. Are you in a dungeon or at this moment or in the something like that? And I wrote down on the side, yes, RT.
Because you were literally in a prison. So what happened was somebody we don't even know who this amazing person was, that just randomly sent this book into Jim's
prison. We don't know how you got it, do we?
No. A woman sent it to me. I know that. It's always women that will do things like that because they're thoughtful.
Yeah.
Men are thoughtful, but they just sometimes don't do what they should. But this woman sent it to me, and she said she'd bought it on a sale table. Oh, my God. What an insult to
that shows how popular it was.
No, it was popular. It was just at the end of the sales of it, probably. And so she bought it, sent it to me in the prison.
Wow.
Oh, show me some more pages of that book. I think I underlined probably most of the book, RT.
Wow. Look,
were you anointed special to write that book? Do you remember anything about writing that book? God Meant It for Good. When you did our wedding.
Yes.
You remember at the wedding, you actually said, God meant it for good at the end of the ceremony.
Well, you've done pretty well, too. 24 years.
Amen.
There it is right there. There's our tea. Look, our tea.
There you are.
And you're saying it right there.
Look how young I look.
Oh, man.
Wow. Oh, amen.
There you are.
Now, look, you're a friend of Rick Joyner.
Yes, my dear friend.
Okay, we're going to put him on the spot. Rick, you listening? Get this book in print with Jim's original pages.
Amen.
That we've been trying to get that done.
Amen.
He told me, Rick Joyner told me that they could do it.
You know, I've had a dream that I would send a million of those books to prisoners.
Wow.
Okay.
And so I would like to have it printed and then have you all help me send it in to it's the only way I know of to set a prisoner free.
Wow.
Well, I would be thrilled if that were to happen. But Rick is a friend of mine like he is to you.
Yes.
And he won't mind my putting him on the spot.
No.
But let's just do it.
Yeah.
And it'd be a blessing.
Amen.
So I want everyone to order this new book, Double Anointing. I've been reading on this book, and this is what I want. Okay. I need a double anointing right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm not as strong as I used to be. You know, I don't have the strength. But so I need a double anointing.
The double anointing that Elisha had, as far as we can tell, was not in quality, but in quantity.
Mm.
You can count about 7 miracles with Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
You can count those with Elisha, 13 or 14. And so the double anointing was number of extraordinary miracles under Elisha. But there's another thing that one should know. You might think that if Elisha had the double anointing, he would go to heaven in a blaze of glory like Elijah did. But you know what? Elisha died a disappointed man, and it kind of fades away, and he just dies like anybody else.
Wow.
So if we get a double anointing, doesn't mean that we're going to be taken to heaven in a chariot of fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. The principle.
No, I'm just going to have to get to heaven. That's all. I just want to be there.
The thing is,
I don't have to go into chariot of fire. How about you?
It's the principles in this book about Elijah's life, how you dig so deep.
Yes.
Like, I just couldn't put it down and just kept going page after page after page. How you dig so deep into this man's story from the Bible, and and you talk about what the call of God is. You explain it to us. You teach us. What is God's calling? What does that mean?
Yeah.
What's anointing? What's anointing mean? You explain it to us. You teach us. And I know it's you because I know you. And I'm like, yes, RT. I mean, I'm answering like you did God a Minute for Good and all your other books. I'm like, yes, RT. Yes, that's exactly right. And Marisol is reading it this morning. I go read it out loud while I'm getting my makeup done by Tiffany and all that. I go read it out loud, Marisol. She's reading it. I'm like, yeah, you have to take like a Selah moment after you've just read, a pause. Reflect on it for a minute, right, honey?
That's right. And I think if I may say, you know, for anyone who's watching, if you're asking God, you know, it's like for all of us. And I sat here this morning and I told Mom, I said, I'm so in awe of God and how he would choose ordinary people.
Yeah.
He chooses ordinary people who the world throws away and says, you'll never become anything. You'll never amount to anything. But that's who God wants. He wants obedience. Yeah. And as you lead us through this book, I love how you ask questions.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here and I love that's what we're talking about is I'm sitting here, I'm finding myself answering you, Mr. RT. I'm answering the questions that you're asking. And I find myself in those moments reflecting and saying, God saying, dig deeper, dig deeper.
Yeah.
Know, he wants us to know the calling that he's placed on our lives.
Yes.
He wants us to submit and be obedient to what it is that he has in store for everyone who would just simply say yes and be obedient to his calling. And so I encourage you today, this is a book right here that would truly change your life.
Truly.
It will go so deep into understanding what is the position, what is the place that God wants you. As we talk about here on this broadcast, these last days that we're living in, and we're watching the events taking place, but God is positioning each and every single one of us, those who would say yes and who would answer the call, he is waiting for us. So I want to encourage you today to order the book. This will change your life. This will change others, your children, your grandchildren. Order this book for them. It's Double Anointing, Lessons to be Learned from Elijah. And you write on the back, it says, what happens when an ordinary person asks God for an extraordinary destiny?
Yeah.
If that's you today, order the book. You can receive it for a donation of $25 to the ministry. That includes shipping and handling. And I must say, Mom, we have our friends and family offer, which is three of the books. And that's for a donation of $65 shipping and handling. Call us today. Our toll-free number is 1-888-988-1588.
Or better yet, we have a baker's dozen, honey.
We do.
We have a baker's dozen, 13. And that includes shipping and handling. I know
We're the only ministry that offers a baker's dozen of books. But we believe in being missionaries.
Yes.
Amen.
And if there's any book that I would like to give you, and I want everybody to give them to their friends.
Yeah.
This would be a great Christmas gift.
Yes. Oh, man.
Wouldn't you like to receive a double anointing as a Christmas gift?
Yes. Oh, that's good, honey. Yeah.
But I just believe that we're in the last days.
Yeah, we are.
And the thing, we need an anointing. We need a double anointing.
Right.
We really need all from
Amen.
God we can get to be able to go through these days.
Right.
Perilous times are not coming. They're here.
Mm-hmm. True.
And so the people mix up Elisha and Elijah, right? And then the two names somehow are close to each other. But Elisha had an ambition for Elijah's anointing.
He had a great ambition. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what that meant? A little more about that?
Well, you have mentioned how they were just ordinary people. Do you want to know what the preparation that Elisha had?
Yes.
Had not been to Oxford or Cambridge, Harvard or Yale. He was plowing corn. He was a farmer.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit leads Elijah to him and says, you are to be my successor.
Yes.
Out of the blue. It just shows, in order to be a man of God, a woman of God, you don't need a Harvard education. God will take you.
Yeah.
And the desire for the anointing.
Yes.
And look at what God did with these men. And I would like to think that to anybody, God will do it with you.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
And when I think of myself, if God could use me, he could use anybody.
Amen.
I promise you, listen to me. When you get to heaven, you're going to find out the truth about me. It'll be all open. And what will surprise you, you'll say to yourself, I had no idea. If God could use RT, he could use anybody. That's not humility. It may sound like I'm being humble. I'm telling you the truth. You've no idea. But I come from the hills of Kentucky. I mean, you're from Minnesota, aren't you?
No, I'm from Michigan. Michigan. But I was in Minnesota for education.
Okay, but you're a northerner, you see. You're more sophisticated than Kentuckians. But honestly, I'm amazed that God could use me.
Yeah. Amen.
And I just want to encourage anybody.
Yes, amen.
He's looking. God is looking for somebody that just
you
wants
ended up
his
at Westminster
will.
Chapel for 25 years, though. That's a highly respected
called,
church.
It's called God's sense of humor. Yes,
but you know, we meet people who have they purchased every one of your books.
Yes. That's right.
Wow.
So you're honored by so many.
You are.
You know people want your book. You wouldn't keep writing books if people weren't
because you teach
getting
us.
Getting it.
You're teaching
sure,
us nonstop.
Right? But
so we thank you.
You have a wisdom.
Yeah.
That is an anointing.
Amen.
It is.
And I believe you have a double anointing.
You know, I was brought up in Kentucky in the days when there were only 48 states.
Now,
you're old enough to remember when it was 48.
Well, yes, I was young.
Well, we had a slogan in Kentucky in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Please forgive me for this. We had a slogan in Kentucky, thank God for Arkansas.
I love it.
Why? Because in the days when there were only 48 states, Kentucky was 47th in educational standards. Only Arkansas was at the bottom.
Right,
so we said,
true.
Thank God for Arkansas.
Right.
Oh, my.
And that's the kind of education I had.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm not making this up.
Mm.
And if God could use me, he can use anybody. And the fact that he could use Elisha.
Yeah.
In fact, even James chapter 5, referring to Elijah.
Yes.
See, he's a man just like us.
Yes.
And so the idea that you've got to be extraordinary in order for God to use you, not true.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Just be obedient and say yes. Here's what I love what you said about the anointing. And this is such, I mean, I can go on and on, but I don't want to take up the time, honey. And
no, you got time.
When you see anointing in your own life at work, at your job, with people, you know. It is not you. Never, ever will you be able to take credit for any level of anointing.
Amen.
It is all down to the God
that's what I
of
want.
Elijah.
I want more
Amen.
Of his anointing.
Yes.
God gets all the glory.
Yes.
You see, I define anointing a little differently than some. The anointing is the Holy Spirit enabling your gift to function with ease.
Right.
Wow.
You see, we all have a gift.
Yeah.
The problem with many of us, we think, well, I want his gift. I want her gift. And God says, well, look, I've made you like you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Romans chapter 12, verse 3 talks about everybody living within the measure of his faith.
Yes.
That means limit. We've all got a limit to our faith. The trouble is many of us want to go outside our limit and say, I want a healing gift. Or I want a prophetic gift. And God says, look, I made you like you are. If you will be content with the way you are, I will use that.
Right.
And that's what I try to get over. It's the enabling power of the Spirit to help you to function with ease.
That's right.
You see, here's what happens. You go outside your anointing,
mm-hmm.
burnout.
Yeah. Boy, totally yeah. true.
You see, you remember that book years ago called The Peter Principle?
Yes.
The idea everybody's promoted to the level of their incompetence. And they have jobs that they shouldn't have because they wanted better pay or more prestige.
Yeah.
Listen, the Holy Spirit will never promote you to the level of your incompetence.
Amen. Thank you.
That's
and if
so
you
amazing.
Live within the way that God leads you, there'll be no burnout, nervous
right.
breakdown.
Amen.
But people want something they don't have, and God says, I didn't give you that.
That's right.
And that's what I hope the book will do for people.
It does.
Enable you
I love that.
To see that the way he made you is yes. the way he will use you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And don't try to be the next president or the next Elijah. Just be what God has called
yes.
you to do.
Amen.
And you'll be a happy man, happy woman.
Thank you.
You were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I wanted to talk about that a minute.
Yeah.
What denomination were you when you first started, when you first started.
I was brought up a Nazarene.
Just like me.
Like Lori's family.
Church of the Nazarene.
Church of the Nazarene.
But they didn't believe in speaking in tongues, probably.
That's true. That's true.
But
they
but they were good people.
Let me tell you something. The first day I met Martin Lloyd-Jones, when he found out about my Nazarene background, you know what he said?
What?
Don't forget your Nazarene background. It's what has saved you.
Yes. Yeah. I totally
And then on the day I was elected pastor of Westminster Chapel, he phoned me. He said, preach like a Nazarene. Those are his words. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Because he knew a little bit about the background, the way it was founded. And I want you to know I'm not ashamed of my Nazarene background.
No, me either.
But to answer your question.
I agree.
While I was at Trevecca, that's Trevecca Nazarene College, now university, in Nashville, I was called to be a pastor as well. So I was a student pastor. I would go to school from Monday to Friday, and then Friday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I would be the pastor of a church in Palmer, Tennessee, down near Chattanooga. Normally, I would come back on a Sunday night after church, back to Trevecca. It happens that one Monday morning, I was coming back, and I can take you to the spot in the road on old U.S. 41 at the bottom of Mont Eagle as we're going on 41 toward Manchester, Smyrna, Nashville. All of a sudden, as I'm driving, there's Jesus at my right hand. And I burst into tears. I thought, he cares more about me than I care about myself.
Yeah.
I never felt so loved. And how I was able to drive, I don't know. When I get to heaven, I want to see a video replay of all that. Because the next thing I can remember was an hour later, coming through Smyrna, Tennessee, I heard these words. Jesus said to the Father, he wants it, referring to me. I heard a reply, all of these words, heard these very words, he can have it. And in that moment, I had a warmth, it comes into my chest, a peace like I've never had. I didn't know you could have peace like that. Right. It wasn't just the absence of fear. It was a sense of joy and peace. And for about, I would say 30 seconds, maybe a minute, but not that very long, I saw the face of Jesus looking right at me. And then disappeared. And then when I get to Trevecca, it's now like 10 minutes till 8 in the morning, I go to my room, shave, go to the class, and all day long I think, what was that?
Wow.
What on earth happened to me? And it took me years to try to decide, how do I categorize it? It's the rest of faith in Hebrews 4. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's coming into full assurance. But never had I known God to be so real.
Amen.
And I can tell you now, that experience has preserved me. It's, first of all, it made the Bible more real to me.
Yes.
It made me see the Bible is inspired.
Yeah.
This, we're talking about the infallible Word of God.
That's right.
And changed my theology, and I've never been the same since. So that's just...
And, you know, it's in this book. You tell that story in book.
I forgot that I told
you
that.
You did.
Okay.
And you... And it. I was like, wow, I have it underlined, I have it high. I don't need to read it to you. You need to get the book. Seriously, you're going to be blown away by every page because you teach us as you have walked through these things in life.
We need to walk with God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the experience with God, is why you have this great longevity of an anointing.
I'm sure you're right. Yeah, I'm sure you're right. I think maybe I should say one more thing. I think you'd like me to say this. You mentioned Nazarenes don't speak in tongues. There's a long history. I know why.
Yeah.
But I was prejudiced against tongues. But 4 months after Not at the same time. I need to say this. Mm-hmm. Not when I had that experience on October 31st, 1955. 4 months later, mm-hmm. I'm driving in my car, coming out of Kentucky into Tennessee, and I felt something in my stomach. It's the only way I know to put it. Mm-hmm. In my stomach that wanted to come out. And the only way for it to come out was to utter unintelligible sounds.
Wow.
And there were people in the car with me. and I just did. And I rode down the window, looked at the person next to me. I thought they'd say something. They never did. And I thought, I've just spoken in tongues.
Wow.
It's incredible. It was unsought. And, you know, I was afraid to tell that to anybody.
Wow.
Because I knew Nazarenes would reject it. Mm-hmm. And one of the first persons I told was none other than Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the man who put me in Westminster Chapel. Mm. And I told him this. And he, the great doctor, affirms that that's of God.
Mm.
And I just...
Now, isn't that amazing?
Amen.
That he would pick you and say, I approve of, and I believe in the experiences that you had with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, I have to tell you, the reason Dr. Lloyd-Jones liked me, he loved my theology. I don't know if it's the same as yours. I've been trying to sort you out for years.
You sure have, R.T. I've been in the conversations with you.
I'm a Calvinist. I'm not always welcomed by some Pentecostals and charismatics.
I think we are going to start loving each other. Yeah.
I know you love me.
Absolutely.
We have differences, but we've got to love one another. We got to stop the fighting.
Yeah.
We have to
come together in unity, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
We can have differences.
Yeah.
Amen.
But we love Jesus.
That's it.
The reason Dr. Lloyd-Jones put me in Westminster Chapel was because he loved my Reformed theology and my openness to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's why he would say, don't forget your background.
Yeah. That's right.
It's what has saved you.
It is.
And
I got it. I understand
it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
You say in your book that Elijah had a big ego and Elisha had a bad temper.
Yeah.
Why does God use people we would see as off-putting or abrasive, like?
I know one thing. He does.
Yes, he does.
I mean,
right.
He couldn't use me.
Thank you, Lord.
If he's looking for somebody that never loses his temper, I'm out. I don't have a chance. And if he's looking for somebody that's so humble and never open to, or how shall I put it? I am as weak as anybody you've ever met. I'm as proud as Elijah was. You see, here's where you get Elijah's big ego. Elijah says, I alone am left. That was not true. There were other prophets. He had just been with Obadiah, who had hid 200 prophets, and he says on Mount Carmel, I alone am left. This is not true. You know, God could have said...
Feels like it.
Well... God could have said, Elijah, stop, you're finished, I can't use you now. But God let him go on.
Wow.
And I think of the silly things I've done over my life and comments that I shouldn't have made, God could have just said, finished, R.T., but he stays with me.
That's right.
And as for Elisha, kids made fun of his bald head.
Yeah.
And he just sent power of God on them, and bears killed them. It's an interesting, mysterious story, but it just shows that Elisha had a temper and didn't want people to make fun of him. The point being, we all have weaknesses, there's no way to get around it. And if he's waiting for perfect people, I can tell you, he'd have to go to somebody other than me.
Well, wow. You talk about all of that.
That
in
is
your
so.
Book.
That's such great teaching.
It is just that.
I need that.
Yes.
I need to know that
mm-hmm.
because I feel like a failure. The older I get, the more failure I feel. I mean, I don't feel like I'm anything special, and I feel I can remember all my sins. I don't know why, but I could tell you every sin I've ever committed. And the enemy will always remind me of them. And so I've repented of my sins so much, God told me one time, he got tired of it. He just said, you know, you've already repented. I've forgiven you. It's under the blood.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, that's one of the best things I've ever heard you say.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you why I say it. A year ago, I was on another TV show. Mm-hmm. I guess it was kind of, I didn't know who they were, but I agreed to be on their show. And I mentioned how the Holy Spirit will enable you to have a sense of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's something wrong if you don't have a sense of sin.
Yeah.
You take Isaiah the prophet. He saw the glory of God, and he said, woe is me.
Yes.
You see, the proof of the glory of God, you feel like a sinner. And you know what?
True.
The guy that interviewed me was flummoxed. He didn't know what to say back. And he just said, well, thank you for coming, Dr. Kendall. We have a commercial break. He was finished. He couldn't cope with it. And see, the fact that you would talk like that, you're vulnerable. The truth is, we all have weaknesses.
Yeah.
And some won't call it sin, but we need to recognize it for what it is. And by the way, I should tell you that this rest of faith that I entered in gave me a sense of sin. And yet, after this experience I had, I became aware of 1 John 1:8. You know what it says? 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's not talking about a pre-conversion. He's talking about after you've been saved. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And that verse made me realize that I am a sinner. And the Apostle Paul could refer to himself as a sinner. An interesting thing, if you read the biographies of the great saints over the last 2,000 years, the greatest saints always saw themselves as the greatest sinners. But you see, most today, they don't want to talk about that. And so that's why I said it's the best thing I could hear you say, Jim.
It's so true. Because this is what you just said, RT, when the glory of God, when you're in that presence, I mean, you're very aware of your sin. You're very aware.
Yeah.
I think it's called the convicting, convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You're very aware.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to be back tomorrow on our show because we got a long ways. We've only
we
gone
haven't
a little
even touched
ways
this
into the book.
Are you so hard up for guests? You're having me back tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, this is what I love. What I love about this man right here. He's so real.
Count it all our privilege to have you here.
Oh, absolutely.
In chapter 4, God's overruling grace.
Yeah.
You write about when King Jeroboam of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to battle against Moab. Elisha didn't check if his answer to the king met his need, N-E-E-D. What does that mean?
Well, actually, Elisha got angry, and he said, if it weren't for so-and-so, I wouldn't have anything to do with you. And it's enough that God could have just stepped in and said, look, I can't use you now. But God overruled. And God's overruling grace is that he's not waiting for us to be perfect.
Right.
Oh, thank God.
I know. It just gives a
big sigh. Isn't that good news?
Just a big sigh of relief right there. Wow. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yes. The N-E-E-D. You talk about this in this chapter. The N, you said, stands for.
Well, a little acrostic. You know what the word acrostic means? It's the first letter of a different word. And if you fill it out, N-E-E-D. Here's what I say. Before you speak, ask 4 questions. Is it necessary? Will it encourage? Will it emancipate? And will it dignify?
Wow. So good.
And if we could remember, if we could remember before we speak, husbands and wives, or public,
yeah.
whoever, if yes. you could remember, do you need to say this?
That's right.
Is it necessary? If it's not necessary, don't say it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Second, will it encourage them?
Right.
And third, will it set them free?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And then will it dignify them?
Wow.
And I can tell you, if it meets their need, in other words, that spells N-E-E-D. That's an acrostic. You can remember that word need.
Mm-hmm.
And before you speak, am I going to meet this person's need?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to put them down?
Wow.
Am I going to make them feel like they're nobody?
Amen.
Am I going to make them feel we don't need you?
Mm-hmm.
But to encourage them.
Yes.
And if it's necessary, you can move on.
Right.
Will it encourage?
Right.
And then will it set them free? You see, Jesus set people free.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and it will give you a sense of dignity.
It really does.
Dignity.
And the thing is, I wrote here, and this is the key. I wrote key. That means this is key to life. This is a principle of life.
Yeah.
This is what I take from this. When I read this, and is it necessary to say this? E, is it energizing? RT's asking you, so you can hear his voice when you're reading this. There are two kinds of people, you went on to say, RT. Those who drain and those who energize.
Mm.
E, is it edifying? Does it build them up? D, is it dignifying? Does it show respect? That's just an amazing just principle of God,
yes.
of life to take with. If you didn't get anything else from this book, take that.
Amen.
But there's so much more.
I want you to order your books right now. The show's almost off today.
I know.
Call us at 1-888-988-1588. That's a toll-free number. And order the book, Double Anointing by R.T. Kendall. You're going to enjoy it, but it's going to minister to you. And we're trying to fill your home with books that will inspire you and through troubled times that you can read and reread. So it's very, very, very important.
So you can receive one book for $25 donation to the ministry, including shipping and handling, or like I Love the Friends and Family offer, but if I really love it, I Love the Baker's Dozen, which is 13. And if I was you, if you can, get the Baker's Dozen, get them to everybody you know, to your pastor, to your kids, to your friends, to your husband, to your wife.
Be a great Christmas gift.
Great Christmas gift. Because, you know, you hear a lot of people say, you know, that are Christians, that are believers, they say, oh, I want a double anointing.
Yeah.
I want one, you know, I want that Elijah story thing, you know, but I don't know if everybody really, because there is maybe a, you know, you've got to be careful kind of when you ask those kind of things, I think.
Would you like to know how much money I make when a person writes in for a copy of my book? Not a penny. Not one penny.
Really?
Absolutely.
Never did that.
This is something I can do for you.
Oh.
And so what my publisher sends, we get no royalty from those that you can use. So I just want anybody to know when they're talking about this book.
Yeah.
It's not going to enable me to take a trip to Bimini. Oh, by the way, Louise and I are going to Bimini next week to bonefish.
Oh, you're going bone fishing.
Yeah.
That's what you and Jim. Okay, so back to the Jim and
we spent a whole week every day. I taught him bone fishing.
This is before we
He never even heard of a bonefish.
No.
Right.
And for Jim Baker to do something like that, that was not in his wheelhouse, let's say. Yeah. Right, honey?
That's right. And I it was a time in my life, and it was like having a prophet of old, you know, and he would talk to me and minister to me, and we'd fish, and you fish in shallow water.
Yeah, well,
and you literally can see the fish.
Well, I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where Paul says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God for the foolishness to him. When I first heard about bone fishing, which is, it's in shallow water, you know, 10, 12 inches deep. And I was fascinated. And so I went to this fishing camp in Key Largo and said, I want to go bone fishing. He said, who's your guide? I said, I don't have a guide. He said, have you ever been bone fishing before? I said, no. will be after today. I'll be a guy. He said, have you never been bone fishing? He said, nobody ever goes without a guide. I said, well, you rent me a boat and tell me where to go. Sure. He rented me a boat, says, go out Barnes Sound, go through that government account, go over to Largo Sound and bonefish on the other side. Help yourself. I came back hours later. He said, how many did you catch? I said, didn't even see any. He said, they were all over here, because there was a guy over here. He said, I saw you over there. There were bonefish all around you. And the guide, the manager of the camp said, I told you, you needed a guide, because you need an experienced person to point them out. They're not easy to see, even though it's clear water. I'm embarrassed to tell you how many weeks I went without a guide, because I was too proud to admit I needed a guide. But one day, I gave in, paid for a guide, went to the same place where I'd been fishing for all those months, and in a minute, he said, look, 80 feet, 10 o'clock, there he goes, big bonefish. I look, I don't see him. Here's another one, 11, he's at 12, he's at 1. I said, I don't see him. Finally, he would say, now look, just relax. There's a bonefish at 2 o'clock. You just keep it at 12, and just what? Well, it's now he's at 1, now he's at 2. There he goes, and I said, oh, that's what a bonefish looks like. You see, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth.
That's right.
And bonefishing, you need a guide. And I liken that to the Holy Spirit opening the scriptures. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They think he should be able to read a poetry or archaeology or philosophy and then read the Bible. Right. You can't read the Bible that way. Mm-hmm. Only the Holy Spirit can show you what is true about God and
Absolutely.
His Word.
Amen.
And so okay. I learned how to see the fish. And I eventually could be a guide.
That's right.
But I had to humble myself and get a guide before I saw them. So I was your guide bone fishing for a week. I remember that very well.
I can't believe
well,
I did
great,
that for you.
It was a great week to be with you, Jim, and I was honored. And the thing is, you give me all the credit because of the book God Meant for Good. I just wrote a book, and some lady you've never met gave it to you.
Wow.
I can't take any glory from this.
Wow.
It's something God did.
That's
and
right.
All I can just say is I'm amazed. I'm amazed.
Can I just ask you one question, and then I'll have one serious question. Why do you love bone fishing so much?
Good question. They're hard to catch. I need a challenge. and because it took me so long before I caught one, and I finally conquered it, I just never got over it. And I'm going to Bimini next week. And I love to do it.
Yeah.
They're hard to catch. Mm-hmm. They're hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to cast to just not too far from them, or they won't know that there's a bait there. Too close, they flush and they scatter. They're very spooky. They're easy to scare away. And the challenge of casting and seeing, and then once you hook one, they take off like a torpedo, 100 miles an hour. And so it's just a good accomplishment.
Wow.
And that's the best answer I can give you, why I like it. Never had anything to challenge me so much.
Right. You know, Jim, we only have a few minutes left. And so I know what the next question is going to be. And
she's,
I don't think we have time.
She's going to get spiritual now.
Yeah, no. We just don't have enough time.
Here comes the religious part.
No, not the religious part, RT. No. No, I just have to say just a couple of things really quick, because I know we want to go into the next part because it's so important about the book.
Tomorrow's going to have... some really amazing stuff to talk about.
Get ready for tomorrow, everybody. You're not going to want to miss it at all. But I know this, that Jim, myself, our team, we want to thank every single one of you that have been giving towards the legacy offering. Yeah. Right now, right, Monticella?
Right.
We've been receiving your offerings to keep this ministry coming into your homes, into all forms of media.
Yeah.
And so we just want to say thank you for that so very much. You're responding to, another thing RT taught throughout this book was that his new book, Double Anointing, was that you have not because you ask not.
That's right.
And I said to Marisol today, I said, honey, you know what? What we don't do enough is maybe we don't ask enough. Maybe we don't say it because we have not, maybe because we don't ask enough. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. And she said, well, maybe, Mom, you know, we contemplated this today. Yeah. And so we asked, and you're responding. Yes. And so we want to say thank you for helping to keep
Amen.
The Voice of the Prophets Network on the air, for keeping Jim Baker Show going and everything else that we do here, Lori's House, everything at Morningside.
I want everybody to have a double anointing out there.
Me too. Yes. I want you all to help.
Because if you're anointed, you're going to bless this ministry too. And then I need double anointing. And I prayed so hard the last few, since I had the stroke, and I was like, what am I going to do? And I don't anything, I don't know of anything to do but what I do, and that's to preach the gospel over television. And to keep doing everything he's called me to do. And we've gone through some unbelievable times, and we're facing difficult times right now financially. And we just believe God that he's going to give us a double anointing, and that you're going to give to the ministry to help us stay on the air. And we're asking God this week for 1,000 people to give $1,000 that will take us away from the edge. We're right at the edge of collapsing on some of our networking. So it's we've got to come up with $1 million, but we need $4 million to get our bills all paid up. And that can happen. God can do that in just a few days. So let's just believe God. I want to thank you for giving. And for those that give that $1,000 and join with us in this legacy offering, that helps us to stay on the air. I appreciate it so very much. And everybody be sure to order R.T. Kendall book, Double Anointing. Double Anointing. So we'll be back tomorrow more with R.T. Kendall. Remember that God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you. Thank you, RT.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to the Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.